All right, if you have a Bible, I'm going to have you turn to two portions of Scripture. First of all, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. For you that are visiting with us, we're looking at a series that we've entitled Understanding the Times That We Live In. And we're just going through this, examining the Word of God, and trying to understand a few things. We started with the red flags that are in our Bible that warn us of the end times. We are definitely living in the end times. We believe the return of Christ is imminent. It can happen at any given moment. And that the rapture could occur. Then we'd start the tribulation period. And now we've maneuvered around in the tribulation period. This will be our last message dealing with any of the tribulation period. Next time we meet, we're going to be dealing with the second coming of Jesus Christ, dealing with the millennial reign and some exciting things, and really, really looking forward to that. The tribulation period is a time of judgment that's poured out on this earth. We have looked at the seals, the trumps, and the vials. We've discussed the Antichrist, the false prophet, and of course, Satan. We are looking at the false church in Revelation 17. We've preached one message on that. This will be the final message dealing with that. A lot of people don't understand how we'll come to a one-world money system, how we'll come to a one-world government, and how we'll come to a one-world religious system. Those things will happen during the tribulation period. Last time that I preached on this, I brought out that the first time that religion was someone tried to bring it all together happened at the Tower of Babel under a man by the name of who? Nimrod. I like what Noel Smith wrote about Nimrod. He wrote a book, Nimrod the Rebellious Panther. And we were able to look at that. We were able to see that he set up a religion, and the people worshipped in his religion was his wife and his son. And where a wife or a mother and a child are worshipped, that didn't start with just religion in the modern time. That's been going on a long time. And we need to understand that. In fact, it's been brought back up several times in the book of Jeremiah. I think the book of Isaiah talks about the mother of God, which is referring to that religion of Nimrod. As we get into this, and this is our final message on it, I want you to look 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're dealing specifically with the false church, the apostate church, the one that will be in charge of all churches down here during the tribulation period. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We're in 2 Thessalonians 2, and look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. Now, Paul's writing to the church of Thessalonica. This was a young church. It was started in Acts 17. And just a young church, and he was trying to get them straight on these details. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, which is the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And we dealt with that last time we met. Verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The thing that's holding Satan, the Antichrist, at bay right now is the Holy Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit's gone, that means will be gone, then these things will unfold. The Antichrist will be known after the rapture occurs. We see that he wants to be worshipped. Satan wants to be worshipped. That is his ultimate goal. And he gets that worship through the Antichrist. And understand that this false church is going to be circulating during the tribulation period. Let's talk about the end times, understanding the times that we live. Father, bless now as we look at the future. These things are down the road a little bit, but Lord, if the rapture were to take place right now, then these things would unfold for what's going on down here on the earth. And I pray today, if there's one here that does not know Christ, that they might realize today should be their day of salvation. They should realize that they need to accept Christ, that he's the only one that can take care of their sin. He's the Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. And then I pray for Christians that our hearts might be stirred anew and afresh about telling others of the importance of getting things right and knowing God through Christ. I pray that we might just be excited about the opportunity to talk to others about Jesus. Bless now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Revelation 17 deals with the apostate church, the false church, and it's known as the Great Whore. And we talked about what it would be doing last time we met, how that the world would be engulfed with this church, and that it would be, we said, most think the apostate church will be a combination of Protestantism, Romanism, and atheism. And it would be a combination of these, and it will bring all religions together. We're talking about the Hindus and the Muslims, that they'd all be brought into it. And you say, well, I don't see how a church could rise to this dominance. Do you realize that there's a particular religion today, I'm going to just use its name, the Catholic Church, is so strong, so powerful, that it has an embassy, and we send ambassadors to the Catholic Church, to the Vatican, and it's the only religion in the world that has that power. And that's just an example of where religious power can be and how strong it can be. Understand that the integration of theology of this false church will be this. Anytime you have a union between religion and state, anytime you have that, you're going to have a theological compromise. And there's going to be falsehood. And it's going to be propagated. And the truth is the thing that's going to be twisted. The truth can't blend with falsehood. And that's exactly what the One World Church will do. Through this, Satan's going to blind the minds. And we need to realize this false religion will blend faiths. And here's why, how it will do it. It will insist on no one religion can save by itself. Let's all get together. We all believe in the same God. And you know what that's titled? That's titled pluralism. Where all religions are okay. Where all religions, you're all right, just so long as you have something. This philosophy of integration, understand this, it's engrafting into churches even today. And people are accepting pluralism. And it's all over our nation today. Let me give you some examples. One example, April 2010. The United States Pentagon invited a man to come and lead the prayer service for their National Day of Prayer. His name was Franklin Graham. This invitation was revoked or rescinded. And they, as they said, why they revoked it, it's because of Franklin Graham's belief on the Islamic faith. And he says this. He says, Jesus Christ is the only way. And he preaches the exclusiveness of Jesus Christ. That he's the only way. And that does not involve the Islamic faith. And so they withdrew that prayer. And here's what here's what Franklin Graham said, and this was given to USA Today. Muslims do not worship the same God the Father I worship. He went on and he said this, regarding Hindus, which have many manifestations of God, no elephant with 100 arms can do anything for me. And these 9,000 deities that they have, I don't know which one to choose. Then he went on and said, we are fooling ourselves if we think we can have some kumbah service where we all hold hands and say, let's all get together. I think he's hitting it pretty good. See, pluralism doesn't want anyone to stand up against anything. Folks, all religions can't be right. They can't be because they're opposing. And if we try to make them all right by unifying, then they all become wrong. And we've got to realize this. Now, let me give you another example of pluralism. It comes from a TV star. Her name is Oprah Winfrey. How many of you ever heard of her? And she articulated pluralism in a wonderful way on her show. There was a guest that she had on her show, and she tried to explain her belief that Jesus was the only way to heaven. And here's what Oprah said. One of the mistakes human beings make is believing that there's only one way to live or to salvation. And that we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world or salvation. There are many paths to what you call God. There could not possibly be just one way. That's what she said. She believes in pluralism, that they're all okay. And again, people are already seeing this thing that we all need to get together and tolerate each other. And all faiths need to just get together and harmonize. We need to tear down doctrinal walls. Well, the first thing you got to tear down in the doctrinal walls, if you believe any doctrine, is you've got to take away the deity of Jesus Christ. And folks, Jesus is God. And if these others don't come by Jesus, they're not going to make it. And I believe it's very, very plain there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Attempting to unite all religions is a terrible idea. In fact, Charles Spurgeon, and many of you have heard of him, he explained it this way about a denial of Jesus Christ. He says this, you cannot have unity without compromising the truth. And to forsake the truth is to, for the sake of unity, is to betray your belief in Jesus Christ and who He is. The Bible very clearly says in Colossians 2:8-9, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know what He's saying? Jesus is God. Huh? Amen. Here's what John said, beloved. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Unity sounds good, but you can't unite with people that are deniers of Jesus. And folks, I'm sorry, but that's what our Bible says. It's sad. People today leave churches for so many various reasons. And what's sad is they leave churches because of convenience, because of the nursery, because of the facility, because, family programs, entertainment, even decor. Or maybe they want a church where they're really comfortable. Folks, the only reason you ought to leave a church is if it's not faithfully preaching and teaching biblical truth. Are they denying the truth? Are they turning their back on the truth? Are they bringing something else in? And this integration of faith is going to happen because Satan's going to blind the minds of them that believe not, and they're going to follow him. And Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I think sometimes you can read too many different ideas and too many philosophies. You better stick real close to your Bible. But I was reading some quotes from the Dalai Lama. And he wrote a book. And here's the title of the book. Toward a True Kingship of Faiths, How the World's Religions Can Come Together. From the Dalai Lama. And here's what he says in that book. The problem is the exclusiveness of Christ. That's the problem. Then he goes on, and he says this. The Dalai Lama suggests that people can continue to accept their own religious beliefs as definitive truth, while at the same time believe the opposing faiths are equally true. And I go, do what? And you know what I had to do? No. Well, I should have. I had to go, what did he say? That's exactly what he says. And I go, this is crazy. Huh? Is this not insane? It's totally insane. And you know, a lot of people say, well, it's not conceivable that the Buddhists and the Muslims and the religions and Catholics and Protestantism, that all of these can come together. But folks, they are. There's dialogue right now between the Muslims and the Catholics. And we need to understand this. The two largest religious groups in the world, the Muslims and the Catholics, are growing. And understand this, that these two groups would make up, I think it's over three-fourths of the religious world. That's sad. You realize how many people that is? We got 6.8 billion people here. And we got, just for example, the Muslim population today stands at 1.57 billion. And understand this, that as you look at this, the 23% of the total population, this demographic was taken from 232 nations. The study found that Muslims inhabited over five continents. And that they're found mainly in the Middle East and North Africa areas and in those territories. And many of those territories have over 200 countries that say they're 95% Muslim. And you know, you've got Muslims all over the world now. And you got the two groups of Muslims. 13% of the Muslims are Shiites. And 87% to 90% are Sunnis. And you know where the Shiites are? The Shiite Muslims are in Iran, Pakistan, India, and Iraq. And then you go to the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm just using that as an example. The Muslim faith, and you take the Roman Catholic Church, it's two-thirds of the world's population. And you go, boy, that's a lot of people. It is. But here's what's sad. Remember the thing I was telling you about pluralism, where all religions get together? Let me give you the above statement, let me read this. The above statement is the official church statement of the Roman Catholic Church. But the plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator. In the first place, amongst whom are the Muslims. You hear what they just wrote? The plan of salvation does include the Muslims. These profess to hold the faith of Abraham. And together with us, they adore the one that we worship. What? Huh? The church is also high regard for the Muslims. They worship God, who is the one living God, merciful and almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, who has also spoken to men. They strive to submit themselves without reservation in bidden decrees of God, just as Abraham submitted himself to God's plan, to whose faith Muslims eagerly linked their own. Although not acknowledging him as God, they worship Jesus as a prophet and his mother Mary. They also honor and even times devoutly invoke these things. I'll tell you, folks, that's sad when religions start accepting people who don't even believe in Jesus. And it's happening. It's happening in churches across America. I mean, just look, you ought to listen to some of the largest churches in the world. You ought to listen to what they say about this type of thing. They're all in tune with it. Pluralism. Folks, you can't be a part of this church unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Is that plain enough? You've got to know Jesus. Amen? And folks, hey, I pray Muslims come here. I want to see them saved. I've witnessed to Muslims. In fact, I've gone to the base several times and had fellas come to Bible studies, and they said, "Well, we got questions. Can you come out and talk to us?" And I've gone out there several times. And I explained to them who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And here's what they normally hear. If I trust and believe in what you're saying, I would be an outcast when I go back home. I would not be tolerated. I cannot deny the way I've been raised or what I've been taught. I must deny what that Bible says. I've heard it with my own ears. Folks, you can get stooped in religion and the truth can be right in front of you and you just bypass it. And that's what's happened. And folks, this is very sad. And we need to understand that in just the last few years, the Pope has gone to Jordan and many of the different Muslim countries and had dialogue with the Muslims about the integration of the two faiths. And I don't even see how this is possible. I mean, I don't even see how it can happen. But we better realize this, that as we think of this, folks, things are happening in our country and in our world that we never thought would happen before. That's why it sort of points to the end times. How many of you have ever recognized the Christian Day? I don't see one hand. You say, well, that's our Christmas. No. Just the day where we honor Christians. How many of you have ever been in to that? No, you haven't. But there's state after state after state that's invoking Muslims Day. In fact, Hawaii's state senate overwhelmingly approved a bill on in incorporating Muslims Day. And there were several that objected and said, no, this is not right. They are connected with what happened in September the 11th. Why would we recognize them? And here's the comment made from the Democratic leading party there. We are a state of tolerance. Ah! Does that not blow your mind? What's happened to us? And here's the problem. It's happening everywhere. To where what's wrong has become right. And what's right has become wrong. And I know it's 12 o'clock. Right now it's 12 o'clock. But do you realize that our world's going insane? In fact, I have a quote. Is Lauren in here? She's junior. This is from the Pope. Pope Francis broke with Catholic tradition of recent Catholic tradition, Monday by declaring that the theories of evolution and the Big Bang theory are real, and remarking that God is not a magician with a big magic wand to do it all. That's a quote. You can get it on any of your computers. And that's not, that's not the half of it. Same thing was said of one of the popes back in 1950. Same thing. There's got to be a way for evolution to work. Now, folks, that's insane. We're headed towards insanity. Nothing makes sense anymore. I mean, I was telling how wrong it was. Somebody asked me a question in line. They found out I was a preacher. I was standing in line somewhere. I don't even remember where it was. But they asked me, they said, what do you think about this thing of abortion? Well, that's a terrible thing to ask an independent Baptist preacher in line where there's a bunch of people. I said, we're going to pay the price for doing what we're doing. God's judgment's going to come against this nation. And I had a lady look at me and go, well, everybody's got their choice. I said, except the baby. And we take that choice away from them. And I said, I don't understand how people, do you realize we have more laws protecting a hoot owl than we do babies? Is this not insane? It's insane. I practiced this my whole preaching life. My family does not participate in Halloween. Now, we did some costume things for the youth and that type of thing, but we just try not to recognize that time. We don't go out trick-or-treating. We don't do that. I try not to honor it because I know what it's all about. I know where it came from. I know what happened with the Druids and all of that. And my children go to school and they say, oh, we don't participate in Halloween. And they're laughed at by the whole class, made fun of. I don't want to bring honor to Satan in any way. I don't want to recognize witches. I don't want to recognize demons in any way, shape, or form. But we get laughed at. If I stand up against abortion, I get laughed at. If I stand up and preach that Jesus is the only way, I get laughed at. Hey, folks, and here's how crazy it's getting. I've gone to independent Baptist meetings, supposedly, to where I wore a necktie and a suit. Nobody there had a necktie on. And I said, I thought we was at a preacher's meeting. And my flesh got in there, and I said, well, maybe I'll take my tie off. I said, no. And they asked me to preach. And I got up and I preached out of my old King James Bible. And boy, I got ridiculed for that. And I go, wait a minute. These are things that have been right for a long time. Now they're wrong. You realize you can't spank your children anymore. I'll tell you what, this world would be in trouble if I didn't get a few spankings. Uh-huh. Yeah, I believe the Bible. You spoil the child, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. I believe in good old spanking. But boy, if you do that in the wrong place, you can get thrown in jail. And folks, what... See, See, we've gotten into a convenience lifestyle. If you don't like your marriage, throw it away. If you don't like the old-fashioned church, just throw it away. Huh? If you don't like dressing up the way you're supposed to go to church, just throw it away. Folks, it's a sad day. And the effects of what's coming, we can see it trending in our society right now. Pluralism is popping up everywhere. Now, aren't you glad there's an answer? We're going to preach about the answer next week. I don't have time today. Second coming of Jesus Christ. The end of the first advent, the starting of the second advent. Amen! Jesus is coming again. Huh? Now, understand this. The Word of God says, I, Jesus, have set mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus can save any soul. We studied Wednesday night. Rahab was a harlot. She was a Canaanite woman. Huh? What happened to her? She got joyously saved. And she's in the line of Christ. She's one of the descendants of Christ. A harlot. Hey, Jesus can save anybody. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. I like what it says in Acts. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That'd be saved by Jesus. Let's close with 1 John 5. Turn over there. And we're closing. 1 what the Word of God says in verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath ever, what? I'm sorry. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. Verse 11. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is where? In His Son. And what do you think it's talking about in verse 12? He that hath the Son hath life. What kind of life do you think it's talking about? Eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, or eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, or eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. If you know Jesus, you got eternal life. If you don't know Him today, where are you standing? Christian, that'll excite your heart. You got eternal life right now if you know Jesus. You got it right now. We ought to be telling others about this wonderful, wonderful truth. Let's go.